One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
All right. Hey, everybody. The return of Chris Klemm from Chris Klemm's Cavs Cast. Actually, it's his first time being on, but I just wanted to title this The Return.
Hey, welcome back.
First time.
What's going on, everybody?
I don't know. Just enjoying a nice, lazy Sunday and enjoying Chris telling his wife that she's also made mistakes. Let's not forget the time you fucked up.
I mean, I don't know. Chris joins us off of a bit of an inconvenience.
Yeah, that's not who Chris is. He's a comedian.
Oh yes, Chris Klemm
from here originally.
Yes,
this guy's got his car impounded.
he lives in Chicago now.
Proprietor of the C4 podcast, the Chris Klemm's Cavcast, which, have you done an episode yet this year?
Nope.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say, there's no point.
Every time I'm about to start, I'm like, I'll do it next week.
I want to count me in for this season, because I've watched a lot of the fucking games, unfortunately.
I watched every game except for the second half of that last Wizards game.
I didn't see that one.
That was real bad.
And I was watching on delay, and I was like, there's no way they came back from this. So I didn't even fast forward, I just turned it off.
Yeah, that's a good call. We were talking last week about, like, when Klay Thompson had set the record for the threes or whatever, I saw that on SportsCenter, I was like, okay. It's, like, not something that, like, it's weird not getting fired up about that anymore, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't care, they're going to win again, and then fucking... I've bestowed a friend of the show, Jimmy Graham, as Cleveland Comedy's Draymond Green. you're a bitch, Jimmy Graham, and Draymond Green. But, like, yeah, it's hard to fucking get into it, man. Like, I have vaguely paid attention to college basketball for the first time in years, just because they've been... What a year to tank, too, when they only have the 14% chance to get the number one pick. The first year that the NBA put their anti-tanking incentives in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Zion would be a lot of fun, though. He's like a concentration of the badass parts of LeBron.
Absolutely. He'd be great. But I'm not getting my hopes up, because more likely than not, they're not going to get a fucking fourth number one overall pick in a decade. You know what I mean? Like, the odds against that are... Pretty high.
Yeah, but it's all
fixed,
right?
But now that
you've
predicted
it, true.
I feel like it's a pretty good chance they do. Like, now that you've said they won't get
it. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
The last two number one picks they had were Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins, so it's not like they really got a lot out of it.
I mean, they got Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins.
Wiggins is not good now.
No, but who cares?
He's
never
so
fucking...
high at the time.
Yeah, that actually worked out pretty well. Anthony Bennett, what is... that? He's the biggest bust in
of
NBA
all
history.
Time. Yeah,
in probably pro
probably
like,
pro sports.
Pro sports.
Jamarcus Russell.
No,
a close
Jamarcus
second.
Russell at least made it. I don't know.
Did
Anthony Bennett ever scored more than 10 points? Like
he had
did
one
he ever
game.
Start?
Yes, in Minnesota, I think he did a couple of games.
Anthony Bennett is the worst. He had no redeeming value as an NBA player and.
No work ethic whatsoever.
He would have been a bust as a second round pick.
Yeah, he sucked. And who was in that draft? To be fair to Chris Grant, that was a bad draft. Victor Oladipo, in retrospect, is the best player to come out of that, but he didn't start being good until last year. Oh, okay. What, really?
14th.
Oh, okay.
So well, it's not like anybody was looking for that.
Yeah, that's
right.
True. But there was some
it was like Nerlens Noel and he's kind of trash.
That's most NBA drafts. I feel like unless somebody is 100% surefire.
Well, it goes like
it's just a total crapshoot in the NBA draft.
It's up and down too, because I mean, like situations are like Jason Tatum has been really good, but I think it's because he's on the Celtics. If he's on, you know, if he would have gone to the Hornets or Orlando, then would people be impressed with him?
100%. And the NBA draft's weird because they have, like, there's at least three that I can think of off the head, time I had, 84, 96, and 2003, where you could make a whole team full of Hall of Famers from each of those drafts.
Yeah.
And then they have other years where there's not even a guy who ever makes the All-Star team in the entire draft.
Which seems like that's most of the time nowadays, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
it's like the year that Mike Miller was.
2000.
He was Rookie of the Year. Like, that's bad.
He was the runaway Rookie of the Year, too.
Mike Miller.
Averaging 13 points and 3 rebounds.
You mean Cavs legend, yeah. Mike Miller?
He looked like a trans woman.
He did have a Bruce Jenner vibe about him.
He had those cheekbones just threw me off.
You guys remember Keon Dooling?
Yeah.
I remember the name because it's real fun.
No, that was when, who was the guy that... The white guy that used to shoot a bunch of threes. Jason Capone.
Oh, well, that was 2003. Right?
Was it? I think so. He was a first round pick, though, wasn't he?
No, he ended up, the Cavs picked him like 45th.
Oh, okay. I don't know why.
Well,
he actually had
a long career.
He did.
He had several really good years.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
He's one of those guys like our new version of that is it Joe Harris?
Yeah.
Like, he's playing pretty well with the Nets.
Yeah, that's true.
Joe Harris, I scooped him up for my fantasy basketball team. He was on that waiver, and he's been a huge... he's averaging, like, 15 points a game.
Is he? I mean, who else is in Brooklyn? Fucking, what's his name?
The dude that just had his foot bend real bad. What was it?
Oh yeah,
that was bad. Speaking of which, Alex Smith.
Oh, Alex Smith is a new...
I didn't watch the video.
Oh my goodness.
I have to watch the video.
It's bad.
It happened today.
Yes.
It happened today, and he went...
Joe, this is the 33rd anniversary to the day of Joe Theismann's injury.
And he was at the game.
Yeah.
He fucking caused that.
The funniest thing that Jimmy Kimmel ever said was, remember when he was doing Monday Night Football? Or he wasn't doing it, but like it was on ABC, so they had him in the booth as a guest or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And Joe Theismann, it was when Joe Theismann was calling the games, and Jimmy Kimmel said, "Hey Joe, how's the leg?"
Right?
Yeah.
It went full Stretch Armstrong, like it.
It was bad.
It's got its own agenda. It's not doing.
Sucks.
What it's supposed to do.
He doesn't want to be part of that.
Yeah, even he doesn't want to attach himself to Alex Smith.
Ooh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
One of the worst leg injuries in football history was, what's his name? He was a running back from Miami. He played for
Willis
the Browns.
McGahee.
Willis McGahee.
Oh,
my goodness. Shit. In the championship game? Yeah, that's bad. I implore you. I'm going to make that the still
look,
cap.
Like when he's just laying there, you can see that it's not right.
I'm going to make his leg breaking the art for this episode.
Willis McGahee's?
Either or. Yeah, actually, Willis McGahee.
Miami would have won. Miami would have beat Ohio State if Willis McGahee.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Willis McGahee's like toe touched his shin.
Oh.
Like, it was fucking so bad.
Yeah.
There was a phantom pass interference call that, like, benefited Ohio State.
I was an Ohio State fan at that point when I was a naive child.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about it. We were talking yesterday about fucking college, Ohio State.
I don't like Ohio State
anymore. Fuck Ohio State. Ohio State's an evil institution. If you're an Ohio State fan, chances are you've never set foot on a college campus. And you should fucking not get so excited about children playing a game for indentured servitude, basically. So get
not
the fuck
indentured
out
servitude.
Of here.
It
is indentured servitude.
Not indentured servitude.
I don't watch any college sports.
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm just not a fan.
It's not like good. it's a lower quality of game. You know what I mean?
I love college football. I watch it quite a bit. I don't think that it's an evil institution.
Yesterday, I was at work and I had it on the radio.
Yeah, but you're brainwashed by it because you're a part of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I had an awful experience. If anybody should hate it, it's me.
So why don't you? Because you're brainwashed. Because
I enjoy it.
Brian's like a private pile in fucking full metal jacket. But just like standing for like fucking watching the All 22.
You guys have been brainwashed by the liberal Zionists.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Fucking
George Soros. Yep.
I'm brainwashed to think that these kids don't have it made for college, big time college football.
Brian's been red pilled over the past couple of months, and it's really. I enjoy your transformation into the dark intellect or whatever.
What besides
dark intellectual web?
Yeah, that's what it is.
What besides college football?
Oh,
and I thought that for years.
Oh, all your.
Well, first of all, you became a skinhead.
Yeah. let's talk about your prison tattoos, Brian. you sport that iron cross, all the
How
time.
Do we feel about this? What's happening right now? The anytime you get a turnover, you run to the end zone and do the school photo pose.
It's tight. I'm all for celebrations.
Okay, good. Me too. Yeah. I like it too.
I mean, I don't give a fuck. The fucking Michael Thomas got shit a couple of weeks ago from all the fucking talking head chuds about pulling out the Joe Horn. Yeah, the Joe Horn cell phone. Fucking great. I think that was hilarious.
It was a fucking flip phone. He had to get a flip phone to do that.
And that, I remember when that happened, man. Yeah. Like the fucking, they were at ESPN was in a tizzy over that fucking shit. Like, who cares? Like, make it fucking fun.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was hilarious.
These guys are going to be shitting their pants at 48 years old and
the tribute
not
was great.
Remembering where they're at. Yeah.
And the fact that nobody remembered was really crazy.
Yes, that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
The other one I remember that's iconic is when Randy Moss mooned fucking.
Moon.
Yeah.
That was a good one. But, the Isaiah Crowell is the best one.
Oh, that's. The only one that I would say will rival that is a couple of years ago where they put in the law to the rule.
The law.
Yeah, the law. Well, it is
the law of the land.
It's the ginger hammer, man.
The
NFL's he's a fucking
constitutional amendment.
Yeah, absolutely. But when fucking Doug Baldwin in the Super Bowl pretended he shat out the football when he scored, that's fucking great.
I'll give him that just because of the stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Isaiah Crowell wiping his ass with the ball and throwing it into the crowd was fucking
hilarious. Great. I love it. I'm all for a good troll. That's why Pac-Man Jones is one of my favorite people of all time. What's the fucking quote? Ain't no shame going to the strip club. There ain't no sin going to the strip club. I was just being rebellion.
I was just being rebellion.
Yes,
yeah, he's
great.
A real wordsmith.
Yeah, I love fucking Adam Jones. Adam Pac-Man Jones. Still employed in the NFL, which is nuts. I think he plays for Denver, I want to say.
Jeez. I thought so, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the only NFL player I can think of to make an appearance on TNA Wrestling.
fucking, he has been, the fact that he must be a fucking great-ass corner, and I don't know how to judge, you know what I mean? Like, there's no analytic that I know about fucking corners, but for him to be able to be in the league he's been in the league for what? 12, 13 years now.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, and he's been arrested like 6 or 7 times and
it's been a while since he has, but he's cleaned up his act over the years.
I feel like he's been in the league since I was in high school.
He has been.
Because I remember when I first got passed at Hilarities and started hosting there, I worked with John, what's his name? Not Caparulo.
Capanera.
Yeah.
Wait, the Kent State hat wearing dude?
No. That's Caparulo. Oh, okay. I worked John Caparera.
Oh, you know.
And he was obsessed with Pac-Man Jones because it was right after his third arrest, and he's like, this guy can't say no to anything sort of fun. If they come in there hey, Pac-Man, we're going to go to the strip club. He's like, I can't go to the strip club. He's like, yeah, well, there's going to be drugs. And he's like, oh, man, why you got to tell me there's going to be drugs? Oh, but I still can't go. But we're also going to take guns. Oh, fuck, man. Why did you tell me you can take guns and drugs to the strip club? All right, let's go.
He brought $100,000 cash in a backpack.
Then
he got mad and punched a girl because all the girls, as he was throwing this money in the air, stop dancing to pick it up.
Yeah, what did he think was going to happen?
He just recently, this offseason, he got into a fist fight with an airport employee. That was just walking around.
And that was hardly even news.
Well, but
the airport employee was the dude.
Yeah. Who what's going through your mind is like, hey, that's Pac-Man Jones. I'm going to fucking kick his ass.
Yeah. I started talking shit to him, to a guy that I know will respond. Yeah,
what happened? I don't remember this.
They was walking through, like, the Cincinnati airport, like, to a flight, just minding his own business. It really wasn't his fault. And, like, some fucking,
some
like, janitor.
Talking shit to
yeah,
him.
And, like, fucking swung at him. And Pac-Man Jones, like, fucking...
Clocked
yeah, he laid him out.
You gotta go for it when you can, man.
Oh, absolutely.
When are you gonna get
this
a chance?
This is my shot.
that is true. I mean,
Before it gets off topic, I have a piece of trivia about John Caponera.
Do tell.
He had a short-lived sitcom called The Good Life. That was the first break on TV for Drew Carey. I mean, not break. He was on The Tonight Show, but...
No shit.
He was on that show.
Oh, really?
The year before the Drew Carey show, yeah.
Wait, the Kent State hat-wearing guy?
No.
Caponera. Lawhead and Farrell are both obsessed with Caponera. Like, that's their guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a great dude.
Yeah.
We have him on the show anytime he's in town. I love him.
He's like a classic old-school comedian.
He's funny. Yeah.
Wait,
funny.
Are we talking about the Kent State? All
right. He yells too, right? The Kent State hat guy.
I think.
No.
I'm genuinely confused. I'm not doing a bit right now. Who are we talking about? The Kent State hat guy.
That's Caparulo.
Okay.
That's Caparulo.
All right. Okay.
And he's actually real chill. He's not a yeller.
Oh, okay. And then the other guy is a different guy.
He is a yeller.
Yeah, and he's a yeller. All
right.
He's like an old school comic, man. He's good.
He's funny.
It's like Bobby Slayton. Oh,
God,
man.
I didn't know that Caponera had a sitcom. You went from sitcom to off nights.
Clem.
Well, it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's rough.
Clem, I have told this story. Don't even tell me if it's true or not. I swear to God, you told me this, or maybe I hallucinated it. But... I've told this on this podcast before, so lie if it's not you.
Okay.
Were you opening for the fucking...
I'm pretty sure if this story is something that did happen, if it's the one I think you're going
to
say.
Okay. Is it where you were opening for the disgruntled clown and he had to come out fucking...
You all shit on stage. Okay.
Yeah, no, please tell the story.
Was it?
Let's let Clem tell the story.
Yeah.
Please tell the story because it's an amazing story.
He has like specific things that you have to bring him up on stage.
So the disgruntled is this comic that dressed. He's like what, 6'4", and then he wears these giant shoes, so he's like 7 feet tall.
It's a road comic.
He wears this black and white clown outfit.
He drives a hearse.
He drives. And it's got his website and shit on it. I don't know if he has a hearse anymore. I think he's just got a pickup truck now. But he did at one point have a hearse. Like, but he's just all in on this act. And Clem was opening for him at the Funny Stop. And I'll let you take it from there.
Well, he has this procedure you have to do. Because he's got, like, besides all that stuff, he's got props and blocks. Like, giant wood blocks on stage. And I'm pretty sure... You made the story sound better than it was, but he had to come on stage, and he said to kill time, so I went excessively long.
I always thought that he was, like, in a trash can ready to, like, pop up or whatever, and you purposely, like, went long, so it made a big fat fuck, like, coming.
That's a much better story. I did purposely go long.
Oh! God damn it. No, disregard, everybody. Disregard.
I thought he was stuck in the boxes, too.
That's
but
what
still,
I was like.
Yeah,
it's
was,
still fucking
did
great.
Did you open for Gallagher during the great Gallagher mishap?
No, I was there the week later, and I made fun of Gallagher.
The Clemager. Clemager is one of the best fucking things I've ever fucking seen. Oh, Jesus Christ, it's so fucking funny. Michelle Obama's got a dick!
He got, I don't think this is true, but allegedly he found out about it and he was really pissed.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember...
I could see him finding out
and
being pissed.
A couple of years ago, Gallagher just kind of popped up in town and was like, people were seeing him like hanging around hilarities in different spots downtown.
Really?
And everybody's talking about how smelly he was the whole time.
Wasn't he homeless now?
There's two Gallaghers, aren't there?
There's Gallagher and Gallagher 2.
The first Gallagher is the real one, and then the second one like is like his twin brother. Yeah,
Leo is.
Oh my god, that's a fucking movie,
so
man.
So I ran into him that time when he was hanging out in front of Hilarities and took a picture with him, and then after I took the picture, he's like, "Would you pay for classes to learn comedy from me?" And I was like, "No, I'm already doing comedy. I'm on the stage tonight." He's like, "Okay." Well, tell your friends if they want to pay, I'll teach them.
Did he smell real bad? That's what everybody kept saying. That he was really, really stinky.
I didn't catch anything significant.
His scent. His
scent, yeah. He was
his
weird,
musk.
Crazy.
Gallagher Tooth is spelled T O O.
No, it's not.
His brother Rana, and this is also true. Apparently, Gallagher 1 sued Gallagher 2, and all of his family sided with Gallagher 2. And basically excommunicated the original Gallagher from their family.
That's fucking great. What a fucking asshole that guy is. What is, he's like super like conservative too, right?
No, he's a crazy person.
That's how that bit came about. Right. That's all shit he believes.
Oh, yeah. Does he like said that in public?
Well, he didn't say it quite like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. When you crush the runts, I always find it. Oh, man.
You gotta pull a hot dog out of your pants. Yeah. Take a big bite.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, Clem, we were briefly talking about it before, but you were in the Cleveland Comedy Fest this year, and there was no fucking contest.
Finals to have a guy.
Did you come up
away from you?
500 people show up and then disappear for the next 5 years.
Have you come in twice, three times or two times?
I did the last 2 years in the finals. 2 years ago, I did bad. I deserved to not get anything.
Yeah.
Last year, I thought I did good, but doesn't.
But that was the year that like the guy that. He just stacked the audience and.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know. He's probably still around, so I shouldn't.
No, he's not. I mean, I've never seen him.
Really?
Yeah, he's not. I've literally not seen him since then.
Jimmy Mack?
Oh, I remember Jimmy Mack from a long time ago.
He used to show up to LVT like every now and again.
I always liked him. He had a very clear Brian Regan esque tendencies and delivery.
Yeah, well,
like he was very, very heavily influenced. to be as nice as possible. It was
well. His you could tell he had a lot of supporters in the audience.
Hey, it works for him.
Man, I had that the 1 year
J Crew catalog.
The 1 year I did it, the guy that I that placed first. Well, he had just taken the Boston Comedy Festival the week before, and like he came into town already having that thing wrapped up.
Yeah,
everybody had been talking about him. And then second place, Al Parks.
Oh, yeah.
And then the kid who placed second is from around here and said that he had the entire Greek community of Cleveland. And then somebody had, I guess, overheard that they were docking me for being too gross with my shortened poop story that I had told.
Uh-huh.
It did very, very well, crowd-wise. Like,
that's stupid.
Yeah, it's almost great. Like that's should matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hate contests.
So I never entered again.
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing like going back to the green room and have everybody be like, man, that was a good set, but that guy probably is going to win, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, he deserved to win.
By the rules of
he beat you. Hey, you fucking lost, you fucking loser. Get the fuck over it. You're done.
I can't believe I'm taking shit from a fucking Marxist on a podcast. That's why capitalism will kill you.
Whatever happened with you and the Cleveland Comedy Open contest?
That's still, the finals are like in a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. They spread that shit out, huh?
I don't know. I fucking...
Are you giving every other comic a bit of the prize money if you win?
Fuck no. That's when I become a capitalist, baby. Fucking call me Adam fucking Smith. Here's my invisible hand in the shape of a finger to you, my friend.
Lazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, fuck, I don't know. I won't win. There's, I believe, Junior, probably has the leg up on this one.
Who? Is that a real person?
I don't know, it's like Junior Senior or something like that.
Junior Senior would be a hilarious name.
Junior Senior the third.
That should be your stage name. You should have a stage name.
I'd take Junior Senior the third.
That's either like...
The only thing more unlikable than the name Ryan is...
I just like that Junior Senior could either be like an old black comic or like an alternative thing.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Third Rock? Tracy Morgan's dog was Tracy Senior.
This is so weird. For some reason on my computer I have all these old like 30 Rock promo pics, and I have all these fake Tracy Jordan posters for Who Dat Ninja.
That show was genius.
That show was great.
Werewolf Bar Mitzvah.
Spooky Scare.
Did you ever see, it's like the first season, one of the bullets. First five episodes, he like, Tracy's about to go back on Conan for the first time in years. Oh. And they're like, oh man, they're letting you back on, and then they do like a flashback of him sitting there dead-eyed, staring off into the distance as Conan goes, oh, so I hear you got a new show coming out. And he goes, I am a stabbing robot. And he has knives in his hands. He starts coming at Conan. I must stab you.
The first time I saw that, I was crying.
The first 15 times I saw that, I was crying.
Oh man, as soon as you said, you see that thing where he's on Conan, I knew exactly what it was. I started laughing already. You guys ever seen Tracy Morgan do stand-up?
Through a rabat.
Yes, he's just a crazy person.
Yeah, well,
it's Marlon really... Fears, but on purpose.
Oh boy!
I was gonna say that's absolutely hilarious, but I saw him after his car accident, and he ends his set now with like 15 minutes talking about believing in God.
Wait, Tracy Morgan does?
Yeah. Ooh. After he spent 30 minutes talking about eating old lady's pussy.
God, believe in God. You're pregnant. You gotta let God get you pregnant with his spirit.
He, is he like, have cognitive delays from that shit?
It's hard to tell from what he used to do.
That's what I mean.
Well, when he hosted Saturday Night Live, it was the funniest thing ever. He came out afterwards, he's like, hello, my name is Tracy. And he's like, I'm just playing. And he started talking.
Yeah. I feel like he's actually better after the accident than he was before.
He was great on SNL. Brian Fellow Safari.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Best guest
of all
great.
Time.
Great.
Well, I love his thing with the... what is it? I can't think of his real name. Chris Gaines, the country guy.
Oh, Garth Brooks.
Yeah. Talk about creepy Chris Gaines is to him.
There's a good sketch last night. I don't know.
I love how much your mom's house podcast hates Garth Brooks.
Oh, it's very good.
Oh, my God. He is the cheesiest dude of all time.
Yeah, he's got like the wraparound.
But it is very phony cheesiness, yes. Too. It's very
see-through. Hey, you know what? If... Friends in Low Places comes on at a bar, like, I defy you not to tell.
That's actually like exactly what Joe Rogan said what they were talking about.
It's a fucking great song.
He won the music industry. He got all his masters back. He licensed them just to Walmart for like $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the guy's a monster.
Yeah.
He's doing a stadium tour. Yeah.
Yeah. Stadiums and arenas. He'll do multiple shows at arenas.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he ever does that Chris Gaines song when he's on set?
That is such a weird concept.
But he had Chris Gaines scrubbed. Like, it's not, like, you can't find stuff.
Do you remember what that song was, though?
I don't.
Like, single?
Somebody else now.
It was,
that's such an ego to think you can pull that off.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just, like, severely mentally ill and was having imposter syndrome. Mm. Maybe, you know what I mean?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Like, actualized it?
Yeah.
Mr. Yearwood.
That's what he called himself.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Yearwood here.
Wait, what?
He's married
to Trisha Yearwood. So he'll call himself Mr. Yearwood.
Garth. Come on, buddy. I mean.
But they're both getting fat.
What?
She's real
they're
fat.
They're like, what, 60, right?
I know, but she's real fat.
I don't know. Who you're talking about.
Speaking
but
of country cheese balls.
Trisha, I can't say her name. Trisha Yearwood.
I don't know. If it's not Faith Hill, I'm not hip. I ain't hip to
Clem, it. Clem, speaking of country cheese balls, what do you think of AJ Styles' hair?
I don't know. It kind of works for him.
Oh, my God. I think he looks ridiculous. I think he looks absolutely ridiculous with that lady.
I like it because that's when his character got more interesting, when he did the New Japan stuff. But I guess now he should probably get rid of it.
His character is ridiculous right now. It's awful. And the whole thing with Samoa Joe and his family, like, they don't set it up. They don't explain it. It's just, you're a bad dad.
That was true. That was so... I mean, Samoa Joe's a killer on the microphone, so it kind of worked, but it made no sense.
It was ridiculous. I think it's like, the worst story.
Is he trying to kidnap your family, or like?
No, he's just trying to let them know that their father is bad. That's it.
I mean, he does take
and they stretch it out for months.
He does take an Xbox One on the road with him, so he's probably a bad dad.
New Day is the greatest thing to happen to wrestling in the past 50 years.
Really?
I love New Day so much. Oh my God. I'm recently back into wrestling.
Gotcha.
So they're new to me, and they're the funniest, best thing. It's these three black dudes, and they come out with like cartoons all over them. But like, the one has a trombone, another one throws pancakes into the crowd, and then the other one just gets in the ring. He's like 300 pounds, and he just like pelvic thrusts very intently. That's like their thing. That mixture of personalities is my favorite thing in all of wrestling.
They came out in a cereal box at WrestleMania 31, like a giant cereal box, and then they tipped it over and they came out of it.
That's really funny.
Well, you go to WrestleMania every year, don't you, Clem?
I have. I mean, hopefully again this year.
What's it like watching it in that, like, because it was at 8, like in those, like, it's in giant stadiums now.
Yeah.
Can you see anything?
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, depending on where you are, like, there's been times where the seats were horrible, but like last year, we were in the upper deck of the Superdome, and it was like direct on the ring, and it was actually a really good seat.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the one year in Orlando, they put a camera where our seats were, so they actually moved us down the floor, which was awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
How is fucking the Superdome, man? I've never been in New Orleans, ever.
Superdome is a nightmare if you've ever been inside, and I don't understand how an older person could watch anything there, because the steps are like, I want to say like 8 inches in the upper deck. They're concrete steps, so you have to really like put your leg
down. Yeah.
So if you're short or old, I couldn't imagine getting up
there. Well, it's from like 1972.
Well, that reminds me of another 30 Rock quote. Probably the greatest 30 Rock quote of all time was, Liz Lemon's ex-boyfriend and that Jenna Maroney, they slept together, and Liz found out, and they're trying to explain it to her. They're like, yeah, it was during Hurricane Katrina. We were all broken up. And then Liz Lemon's ex-boyfriend goes, yeah, what those people were doing to the Superdome was disgusting.
I don't know. Dennis was one of the best characters on
so
television.
Dennis
Duffy. It was so funny. When he gets caught on To Catch a Predator, but like it's like the episode after, and they're talking about it, and he's like, she said she was 17 or 15.
13.
She said she was 13, but I could tell she was like 24.
Yeah. She said she was also an Asian guy. I know that shit doesn't start till college.
Man, that dude is, he is so great on that show. What's his name? Dean Winters?
Yeah, and he's the All-Star guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mayhem.
Oh, wait, that's the Allstate guy?
Yeah,
Mayhem.
That's a cushy gig. How do you get, like, him or Flo? You know what I mean?
I actually had this conversation with my wife, okay? So Flo was somewhat, for what most people would say, she was a somewhat successful actress. She was in movies. She was, like, a member of the Groundlings in L.A. Like, she was doing okay for herself.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she had dreams of, like, maybe I have my own show or, like, get a bigger role in a movie or be on TV or whatever. But instead, she's the Flo girl from Progressive. And she's probably wealthy beyond her wildest imagination.
Sure, I remember.
But she can't do anything else.
Exactly. So it's like, would you take that trade-off?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Because that is a lot of money. And she, like, she's literally not allowed to do any other acting because they have to preserve her as that.
As Flo?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then when she's done, is a comedian. She, even if she's not a comedian, apparently these days,
you just go out,
sell out every single comedy club.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I was just like, how many? By the time she's done with that, I'd be like, how many middle-aged comedic actresses are getting work.
It's true.
Dude, if you could Bob Saget your career, would you not?
Fucking, yeah.
I guess that's true.
How about the fucking Sprint guy who used to be the Verizon guy? That guy fucking changed companies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He's like blowing people in alleys.
Like, I used to be four bars, bitch!
And, you know, can you like, feel me now?
Like, that, like, Sprint getting him and the whole campaign is... It's not as good as Verizon.
Yeah.
But you can afford it.
Hi, you may remember me as the Verizon guy.
They're not that much better.
Yeah, that's literally their ad campaign right now. I've done ads for them.
Jeez. I don't know. The people that, like, marketing people that come up with some of these ad campaigns are, like, so nonsensical. Like, the fucking one that kills me is the Safe Auto quote thing. It's like, these are terrible quotes. Like, that's the latest. That's like not even like a fucking, it's like, okay, let's just
hear those constantly. Yeah,
thumb through a fucking magazine and pick some words and what just fucking this? Do it for the Safe Auto, the terrible quotes thing.
Yeah,
what's a terrible, I don't know,
I guess it's probably regional.
Voices saying things like
just nouns, just
let's say like I hear this all the time, I can't remember any right now.
I didn't enjoy my 30s at all.
My phone case is more expensive than my phone.
Yeah,
things like that.
And that's it. And it's like, oh, these are terrible. Like, you know, get an auto quote, and like these are actual like quotes, but they're not really quotes because they're bad. So you literally just go through a magazine and pick out words and just fucking do it.
Do they still sing the song at the end?
I don't think
so. 100.
Oh no! That was, pick up the phone. The call is free. Play it safe. Norm used to do fucking Safe Auto ads.
Oh man.
Yeah, like not even that all that long ago, before his transformation into the intellectual dark web.
Have you watched his show on Netflix?
Great, it's hilarious. Fantastic. Yes. I just it's hard to, these guys, I don't know. Again, I'll say it again. You have $1 million in your bank account, it fucking makes you a completely crazy person that can't relate to anybody.
I mean, I don't know about a million, but there probably is a point where you really lose that ability.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't. It's not even their fault. You know what I mean? You don't have...
Poor rich people.
Feel bad for them.
Enjoy the simple pleasures in life.
Exactly. Like having to pay $1,500 deductible because you had to get stitches in your hand because you broke your window. Pretty cool.
Or
did that happen to you recently?
It did.
You broke your window. Yeah,
remember? I had my hand all stitched up. $1,500 deductible.
I thought you did that like Keanu Reeves in Hardball.
Well,
punched through a car window.
I did. Cause
nobody kicks my ass like I do.
I was upset about G-Baby.
Nah. How could you not be?
You're like Goldberg. He had this bit in the 90s on Nitro where he had to, like, smash car windows, and he was supposed to use a lead pipe, and I guess he dropped it or something, so he's just like, I'll just punch him with my hands. He was out for, like, 6 months because he lacerated his veins.
Yeah, I'd imagine that would happen. Fucking the greatest movie of all time, not of all time, but one of the ones of the last 10 years, The Wrestler, is fucking,
oh man, it's great.
Yeah, spectacular. It always reminds me of like when they fucking, like that David Arquette shit, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that David Arquette thing was hilarious.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, I don't know who told me, but they're like, hey, David Arquette is wrestling now, and it's weird.
Steve Guy told me about that like a month ago, that David Arquette's all about wrestling and still does it all the time.
Yeah, they were supposed to book him here and he was injured, so they had to like cancel.
Oh, for the at the St. Carmel?
Yeah, it's like when you start wrestling and you're like, I think he's like 48, and you get hurt a lot.
I'd imagine.
Well, he also, like, he did that death match where he's just like getting thrown through light bulbs and shit.
Yeah, the fluorescent light
tubes. And it got a little real, I guess.
Oh, yep. Yeah, that's that guy he had the death match with Nick Gage is, he's no joke, man. His matches are always super brutal.
Yeah, and you know, he cut open his neck or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he the guy that used to do like shit with weed whackers and stuff like that?
I mean, he did, but you might be thinking of the guy that's in The Wrestler.
Who's that?
I can't remember his name. He's like a hillbilly looking guy.
Oh, the bald guy?
What was the one guy? Sick Nick Mondo was his
name. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
what
I'm thinking of.
No, but he's like one of his style guys. Like, that's like, if you went on his Wikipedia page, that would be like his influences.
Cactus Jack and / Mick Foley is probably the most successful at doing that of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, you had like the Sandman and a lot of those ECW guys used to do shit like that.
Cactus Jack. Love Mankind. Yeah, you opened for Mankind before, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
It was really, actually, it was awesome.
No, I bet it was.
And I felt really bad because the green room at the Cleveland Improv is like a little closet, basically.
Yeah.
And he had to be stuck in there with like a fanboy, which was probably not that fun. And he could not have been cooler, but he had everybody after the show. They waited like an hour and a half so he could sign everything, and he took pictures with everybody.
Oh, that's tight.
And then it's like, oh yeah, here's the guy who opened for you. Oh man, it was an honor. By the way, I brought 4 things. Can you sign them? And he signed them, and he wrote down different names on each one, which was really sweet.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
really cool.
He wrote, like, Cactus Jack on his DVD, and his one book he wrote Mankind. The other one he wrote Mick Foley. And then,
how many questions about the Hell in the Cell match did you have?
Not that many. I mean, it's well worn. Like
4, 12, something like that.
Yeah, it was just like, man. When he fell off that cell, that was crazy, right?
I watched like a little Chris bit Farley that one thing that came out after SummerSlam where he was talking about it. It was like a spoken word thing he did in Pittsburgh.
It was
like a one-man show kind of deal where he pretty much just talked about like his career leading up to that point and like all everything that happened that night. Do you guys remember what I'm talking about? Where he fell like 18 feet?
Yeah, yeah, the Undertaker.
He talked about that. He fell from that out through a table. They were like leading him out, and then he like came back, climbed back up, got slammed through the cage again, got chokeslammed onto thumbtacks.
Yeah, he doesn't remember any of it, right?
Yeah, and the chair that was on top of the cell fell through the cell and hit him right in the face. Yeah, his act was like that, just not about some specific, but he just talked, and then people asked him questions.
Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler are coming to Hilarities.
Will you open it for
him? I asked. I don't think they're gonna have an opener.
Jerry Jim the Ross, King.
Like that call when that happens is like Jim Ross is like, he killed him! He killed him!
Yeah.
Oh my God!
With no regard!
When are they going to be at Hilarities?
Whenever Jerry the King can interstate travel.
Yeah. Jim Ross has had a rough run of it, man.
Yeah, his wife died in a car accident, didn't she?
Yeah. And the guy got off of it. He didn't get the trial. He got acquitted.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know.
It makes me feel good. Next time I'm worried about hitting somebody on a bike, I just fucking smash him. Hey, Jim Ross's wife died. Nobody cared, so who gives a shit about this guy on a divvy bike?
Whenever there's like a bike-related story in the news, we get an email from management to say, handle this cautiously because bike people,
which is insane. Yes, yes, that's fucking insane. I do not understand it.
Like, what are you talking about?
The cult thugs.
Of bike people.
Like they. So if there's a story of someone like that gets killed on a bike, and I make a joke about him saying, "Oh, he must not have used proper bike technique, like he learned, you know, something like that, like the signals." If I just say anything negative about the guy, we get phone calls and emails and actual letters from people. So they're just like,
yeah, there's like,
just don't fucking poke this hornet's nest because we don't want to deal with it.
Because something happened a couple of years ago, I don't remember, but there was a story and it was a giant controversy that somebody.
Yeah, well, I think there's a girl that was killed on a bike, and someone made a joke about it, and then people just went fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I get that, but it's even like when they're like, yeah, they're putting bike lanes in Lakewood. I'm like, well, nobody ever uses them, and it's stupid. Then they'll be like, oh, they're not stupid, it's going to save us all.
There's study after study that says that allocating resources to bike paths and like cutting off like a lane of traffic or whatever is less efficient than investing that money in public transportation. So fuck bike people, get the fuck out of here.
I don't.
What? Well, you're offending one of the boyfriends, Rustin McCann.
Yeah, well, Rustin, I'm sorry, buddy, Rustin. But
He said he likes the show because mostly we do not talk about sports, and when we do, we get bitchy about it. I thought that was pretty funny.
Bill, did you ever get, I don't know when he's been gone, but with John, get to work with John Lane again?
I never got to work with him, but he retired, like, the first remote, right? Well, he was doing the spew for a couple of years until, like, recently. He, like, walked off mid-show.
Yeah, he's been doing it in Colorado for a while, which was hilarious. Wait, he walked off mid-show?
Yeah, he quit halfway through the show.
You can find the clip. It's great.
Yeah. No
like,
shit.
You know what? I don't care about Cleveland sports, and I don't follow politics. I think this is my last day.
That's baller as shit.
Yeah, he just signed out.
But he was on when I first started there. Like, he was on Magic still.
Well, I remember I had this job in college working at Gojo over the summer, and the guy I worked with was obsessed with Flanagan and Malone. Every day he had to listen to it, and I remember what you're saying must have been true for a long time, because they did a story about bikes, and Lanigan went on some rant, and he's like, I don't care what all you bike people have to say about this, get out of the way when we're driving, you're gonna get hit, and I don't care if you call the station, I don't care if you complain, you know I'm right. It's still stuck with me to this day.
Yeah, it's a weird...
They are fucking infuriating. The ones that just go right in the middle of the lane and they ride at 15 miles an hour, and then if there's a stoplight, they do whatever they want. It's like, fuck you.
That's true. I hate so much, in Chicago especially, they'll be mad if you don't watch out for them, but then they'll run every
light. Red light, yeah. The taco truck guys did a really funny sketch about drivers versus bikers. Like, people that are on, you know, like, cyclists.
Right.
And then they get into, like, a kind of a fight, like, an Anchorman. And then there's pedestrians coming, and they're like, oh, they take forever. They're just, like, slowly walking over. It's really funny. It's a good sketch.
The Colin Jost apparently made a controversial fucking thing.
Just the way you said, the Colin Jost.
Yes, fuck Colin Jost. Colin Jost, in my opinion, sir.
What was his controversial... Because I watched it last night, I didn't find it.
Something about Amazon. I don't know if it was controversial. I didn't watch it. I just... something about, like, don't complain about these jobs or whatever coming here.
Oh, yeah, well, he's making...
No. Saturday Night Live is a perfect... They know their target audience, you know what I mean? Like, it's... Everything that will offend, like, left people, and, like, then talk about it incessantly, and then the chuds that don't like it anyway. So it's like this fucking feedback loop that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I don't understand why it's held up as the bastion of fucking, like, satire, because it's not.
That's all honest. Well, I mean, you're making
been around forever.
A bigger point about the media landscape of 2000.
Oh, right. No, I know.
South Park is the best satire. Yeah. The past two episodes were unbelievable.
Oh, I gotta catch up.
I haven't seen them.
Oh man, a while ago they came out with that episode making fun of Al Gore and kind of denying climate change.
Yeah.
With the man, bear, pig thing.
And it's the real.
But like now, like the past two episodes is it being real. And like the way that they did it, I don't want to ruin it for you. It's unwatchable.
I believe the episode is called I'm Super
Super Serious.
Time to Get Cereal.
You guys watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, yes, but I've heard that like this past season has been really, really good.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. The last episode is heartbreaking.
That last episode was so strange. Like, it was beautiful, but like...
I laughed so hard at the beginning stuff with Frank. Like, that whole side plot had me cackling. And then at the end, it got so sad, I didn't know how to process it.
It was so serious, and then they ended the season that way. Like, I expected one smarmy line at the end just to kind of bring it all together. But no, it was like the equivalent of Fresh Prince just going to silent credits after
turning out the light.
And, yeah.
What don't my dad want me?
Yeah, like it was like a very emotional, interpretive dance at the very end. It ends on like a 5-minute interpretive dance about Mac being gay and like coming out to his dad.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just go to credits.
Yeah, his dad is a major, and it's weird because like you watch all the episodes, Luther's been around for so long, and so it makes the ending even sadder to me.
What's his name?
Gay now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened last season.
I haven't watched it in years.
Oh, you're missing out.
I gotta catch up.
It's pretty great.
Didn't they do like a shot for shot remake of like a Seinfeld
Yes.
Episode.
Not a whole episode, just right. like a sequence.
But like it was like it's supposed to be a clip show or something like that. And then,
yeah. It's actually really funny because both it fits really great with their characters. That Dennis is of course Jerry, so then Mac also has to be Jerry. So they're both dressed as Jerry with the mullet and everything. It's great.
And Matt got super jacked for this season, like in insane shape.
Yeah.
And they are in no way impressed with it. Yeah. He's always taking off his shirt and like, not impressed with it whatsoever.
Yeah, Charlie just refers to him as the bar's gay. He's like our gay guy.
The two-part Super Bowl episodes were amazing too. Because like the second he said, I wish that you would disappear, I was like, oh shit, they're doing Home Alone. And that's exactly what they did. I wear green. I'm green man. I eat brown. Preferably a milk steak boiled over hard. And I drink yellow because that's the color of beer.
I thought the Dennis wasn't in it as much this year.
That was disappointing.
The Dennis sexual harassment episode is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Also, have you guys ever seen AP Bio? The show that he's like missing Always Sunny for?
No.
Really fucking funny.
Yeah. Really? Patton
Yes. Oswalt? Actually, really. Yeah, Patton Oswalt. It's one of the better sitcoms I've seen in a long time.
Just why don't I read books? I can't even watch enough TV. Like, I'm never going to get the books.
Wasn't there like a whole plot line? Because they didn't say at the beginning that he was going to be back for the season at all. Wasn't it like a sex doll or something like that?
Oh, they handle it right away in the beginning. He's like, don't you want to hear about my family and why I left? And they're like, you left? We didn't even notice. They just completely ignore it.
That show's been on, like, I was a freshman in college when that fucking
show
came. Yeah, it's been on for a long time now.
I fell in love with it when they did the underage drinking episode. That was when I was like, this is the best show on TV.
I came to it late because my friends would be like, you gotta watch it, and I'd be like, oh, it's alright. But then when Roddy Piper was on, I was like,
came in real late.
And then I watched every single episode that had
the Birds of War episode.
Yeah.
A personal favorite.
Trash Man!
I only think the first like 6 or 7 seasons, but I need to.
A personal favorite is the Rumham one. That
Rumham's fucking
great. Nightman Comes is my all-time favorite.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, my God.
The Frank's, that whole season.
Frank's Little Beauties.
Yes,
that whole season.
I love it so much, the part where the mortician, he's like, nobody's going to think you're a diddler if you got this creepy hanging around. Like, I don't care what you do with my body after I'm dead. Do whatever you want.
Trash.
Fuck it. You can cut holes in it. Fuck it that way. You gotta put some more corpse makeup on me.
I'm so glad I've been thinking about that makeup.
Oh man. Yeah, that whole season where Mac gets fat is absolutely hilarious. But yeah, fucking there. I don't know. Yesterday I watched almost the entirety of Narcos Mexico on Netflix. Fucking very good. I recommend it. And it's I looked it up. It's pretty true about the fucking drug cartels in Mexico.
I watched the first season of Narcos. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that one's about Colombia, and this one's about.
I'll be honest. I don't watch a lot of TV.
I do.
Yeah. I watch It's Always Sunny. I usually watch South Park, but I'm behind on that. And then I'll watch wrestling pay-per-views, and then sports.
Yeah, it's usually sports. I try to find something.
Yeah, you're watching all the regular season Cavs games before the new year, so I can see where your TV time's taking up.
Yes.
I'm not coming into this shit until 2019.
In my defense, though, a lot of times I'll do something else and then
absolutely.
And watch the game, and then it's only like an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly. It's a quick time waster.
But I will watch it live, and those are not fun.
No,
it's terrible.
You know what's really great? Watching a basketball team in 2018 take almost exclusively long twos.
It's very good coaching, a very good plan by our buddy.
This is what we're going to do on the play. Either Rodney Hood or Colin Sexton will get an open three and not shoot it and then dribble 2 steps in and take that. And miss it.
Oh no. The dog turned off the power cord.
Oh no.
Wait.
Look, Cooey. You blew it.
That's it?
Yeah,
it's gone.
What was he doing? He turned off the power cord.
It's alright. We'll probably wrap up soon, right?
Yeah, we're at an hour.
Okay.
I mean, God damn it. Dog.
Q-side.
Stupid dog.
Can't stay mad at you.
Clem, how long are you in town for,
buddy? Is it still recording?
Yeah, it's
still recording. Oh, shit. I'm here till next Sunday.
Well,
My wife is working, and I have to have a car here, which, unfortunately, I don't right now.
Yeah.
Because Frank Jackson, such a great mayor of this wonderful town, aiding and abetting rapists.
and actual murders. Did you see that the other day? The fucking judge that got, like, disbarred for beating his ex-wife, like, got hired personally by Frank Jackson as, like, an advisor on a staff just to get a city salary.
Yeah.
And ended up murdering his ex-wife on Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah. Good. Very good.
Like, this quick. Saturday he
this,
did
like,
it?
Yeah. Yesterday. Yes.
Oh, fuck. Man.
Yeah. Like, you know.
I'll give the people who work for the city credit. I told the guy last night that the city was fucking corrupt, and he said, I know, I need a job, though.
What did the guy say? That he would fold you like...
Oh, that was today.
Yeah, tell us that story. Yeah. You didn't really tell us the story.
Yeah.
We just kind of overheard
you. So last night, I drank, and I thought my car was fine, and I was being cheap. So instead of parking in a lot for like $5, I was like, well, there's no sign on this thing, even though there's a sign... next close enough to it that I should have just inferred that. So I parked on the street, I got hammered, then I go over there at like 3 in the morning. At I was staying at the Bingham last night, and my car was like right in front further up. So I was walking back to that place, my car's fucking gone. I panic, I think it got stolen. Then I'm like, well, let me call them. And I called them drunkenly, the tow place. And the guy's like, yeah, it's here. And I was like, well, it's got my sleep apnea machine, and I need it. And he's like, well, if it's a medical emergency, you can come get it out of there. So that's when I went last night, and this guy was high as fuck, eating Doritos, looking to the car. And he's the guy that's like, yeah, the city's corrupt, but I need the job. And I said, what would happen if I stole the car? And he was like, or I just took it back. He's like, I'd have to call the police, but it would be make me look really bad if you did that. And I was going to, but I was drunk enough that I was like, I'll probably get a DUI,
going
to do that. So then he's like, well, we're open till 8 to 4:30 tomorrow. And I was like, cool. So I wake up, it's like 3, I get a ride over there, and all the doors are locked. So I go to this other room, and I was like, where do I pay to get my car? And he's like, you can't. And I said, why? And he's like, we close at 12. And I was like, but you guys are still here. And he goes, yeah, but we don't do that. And I was like, the guy last night told me, you're open till 4:30. I came here. I need my car. All my stuff is here. I don't live in Cleveland. I need my fucking car. And he's like, well, I don't know what to tell you. And this other guy who looked like... what's that Sega Genesis game? Toe Jam and Earl?
Oh, yeah.
He looked like Earl. He came over and gave me this piece of paper, and he's like, call this number. And I called him.
I thought I was going to say Backdoor Beauty with a question mark.
This lady's like, hello? And I said, yeah, I'm at the impound lot, and they told me to call this to get approval to let me take my car. And she's like, we're closed. And I was like, I get that, but there's people here, and they said they can process the payment if you tell them it's okay. And she's like, sir, I don't have time to look up which car is yours. Just come back tomorrow. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And she goes, if you're just gonna keep talking, I'm not gonna change anything I say, so I'm hanging up now.
Jesus Christ.
And she was like an official for the city, so that's also great. And so then I was like, look, dude, I'm just going to take my car. You can call the police. I don't fucking care.
Right.
And I go out there. And he's like, no, man, you can't go back there. And I was like, I'm going to. Watch me. And I push him out of the way. And then Earl comes outside. And he's like, no, motherfucker, you ain't going back there. And I was like, yes, I am. And so then I start walking. The guy grabs me and he's like, listen, motherfucker, I'm going to fold you like a chair if you don't walk your ass out of here. And I was with somebody I don't know very well, and I was like, the last thing I need is for me to get into a fight with these guys in an impound lot, and then everything's worse. So I walked away, and then he started talking shit while I was walking away, and I was like, keep talking while I'm walking away, fucker. And he's like, yeah, that's right, I said I'm gonna fold you. I never heard that as a threat.
It's a great one, though. Yeah. I gotta say, he's a wordsmith.
Not bad.
Like, yeah, it sucks, but I got a new phrase out of it.
You can fold people like a chair.
Fold you. That's so fucking funny. funny. Oh, man. But that sucks. That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
Now they're going to fuck with your car, man.
I know they are. It's like the only car over there with Illinois plates. It's very obvious.
No. Gotta go back there and get your car.
And it's like everything I own is in that car. I'm just glad that I decided to take my Nintendo Switch out the other nights and leave it at my parents' house because they don't get backup saves, so I lose all my game progress.
Oh, man. Well, like I said, man, if you need me to take you somewhere, if you need to crash here, like, we have a fucking guest room and shit, so.
I'll probably just ask for a ride back to downtown and then stare at, like, white college kids as I look depressing and hulking down the street. I already had some guy cross the street because of me earlier today.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're at like an hour. We did a good fucking...
Yeah.
You got anything to plug? Either? Anybody?
My butt. December 23rd, Chris McWazica, The Agora.
I'm just happy to finally be on this show.
Yeah, no. It's been a long time fucking coming.
We don't have that many guests.
No.
No.
Yeah.
We should start. I like fucking having a guest.
Yeah. You book them. We can't even get it together. Like, we're not even consistent doing this.
Yeah, that's true.
And the person in.
And I gotta get my podcast going again. I had a very substantial listener base for a time. I'm pretty sure they're all gone.
Yeah, but that was during
the cows are good.
Yeah.
They'd be gone anyway.
Yeah, wait another decade, buddy, and maybe you'll.
Maybe I'll just start covering Dan Gilbert's drinking habits.
That would be great.
Yes.
You two should start a podcast on that one.
Yeah, about Dan Gilbert. Hey.
Big Dan Gilbert fan over here, Ryan.
Yes, indeed.
I just don't like him because he employed the guy that beat me in a comedy festival last year.
Well, fuck that
guy.
Jimmy
Mack and Jasmine, Jasmine was real green, and then this dude Harley does comedy.
Jasmine did have a great set.
Yeah.
No, she did.
Yeah.
And I had a horrible set, so I'm not mad about that one.
That's why they don't have the fucking contest anymore, man.
That was a great show for me because I got an applause break and I was like, oh, I'm doing good, I'll do another joke. And it was like, I sucked every single ounce of air out of it.
I had the worst set of my entire career this past Thursday.
Oh, let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah, a couple days ago at Battery Park Pub. There were probably 9 non-comics there. And I went and I did, like, the material. Like, you saw the set that I did at Winchester.
It was great. It was great.
Went great. Started it out with that. 0 laughs. Nothing. And then I went into some of the other new stuff that, like, I had been doing at Hilarities that's been doing real well.
Nothing.
And nothing. And it was just fucking awful.
I've never
failed that hard over that much time. I'm usually better if you give me a little more time. And
that's
fucking
Redstone now?
The old Redstone, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you eat the dick, sometimes the dick eats you, as they say.
Oh, it consumed me good. Those people did not like me.
Yeah.
So
I did a show on Friday, which I knew was going to be horrible. Sorry, it's not bad. No,
that's fine.
It didn't turn out well. But just because the venue just didn't... It's at fucking... Remember when... what's it?
It used to be the... O'Toole's.
O'Toole's, yes. And in the main room, where there's a big fucking stage. No, and like people don't want to be in there, and it started off on a bad
note.
Whose
show was it?
Now it's a what?
Dave Morales.
It's an post-apocalyptic...
Macaroni and cheese. Yes, macaroni and cheese.
Post-apocalyptic.
Yes.
Is it really?
It's like... Mad Max. That's what it's called. but yeah, it was...
The bartenders have radiation poisoning.
Yeah. Yeah, I have shoulder pads. Yeah.
No, fucking...
Loincloths.
High Clack was there, and listen, High Clack, if you're listening, like, you need to fucking stop hugging me. Stop hugging me when you introduce... Like, it's, you don't have to hug me, buddy. It's fine. Yeah.
And Ray, just so you know, he's joking.
No, I'm not.
Give more. Double down.
Yeah. I'm not. Because he fucking... I was so annoyed at that fucker on Friday because he kept saying words as like things like, you know, I got more jobs than a porn star. It's like, what? That's not a fucking colloquialism, you fucking... He was dressed like he just had a... lap band surgery with a fucking driving cap and an
Ryan's
rubber.
Just trying to sound cool. He was talking earlier about wanting to do the French double kiss every time he sees Ray.
Yes, absolutely. But anyways, get your shit together, Ray, and stop fucking hugging me.
I just like that he's dressed as the token white guy in like a late night B-team.
He's more retarded than Michael Rapaport. Fuck. Alright.
Fucking Gus Edwards. I went heavy on Alex Collins this week. All my research was like, I would see an advanced statistic saying, like, you need to bet on the Ravens run game versus Cincy.
I keep picturing...
And so I went Alex Collins and Gus Edwards had 115 yards and a touchdown.
I keep picturing Kenny, like, when he's doing his research with one of those clear visors and, like, a arm band around it. Throwing a guy.
With an adding machine. That doesn't sound like research at all.
No, that sounds like he's an old-timey Kenny.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. But he's using a numbers machine.
I listen to podcasts and I read probably... two like ongoing articles each week.
Well, that's more research than I do, sir. So that's why you're away.
Enter into the contest each week.
I did. I
did this week? Yes.
Okay. I did.
You guys want a hot fantasy tip? I'm pretty sure I said it earlier. If you're in the basketball league, Joe Harris is probably available.
There you go.
We'll end it on that.
$40 this week. All my winnings going.
Hey, Godspeed. You shine on, you crazy diamonds. Shine on.
Go Brown.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.